The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I typically do not like to preach on Sunday when I've been traveling. This past week, as I just said, I went to San Diego, California with 20 students and others from Waldorf University, where we spent their spring break immersed in issues surrounding immigration and migration. In setting the preaching schedule, I was quite confident that while I was there in San Diego visiting border angels and hearing stories of migrants who were so desperate for new life that they were willing to risk the life they have, and while participating in a water drop in the desert, leaving water for those who may die crossing that border, I thought I would find all kinds of connections with Jesus' time in the desert. I thought this sermon would come together easily, that it would almost preach itself. But to be honest, throughout this week, I've struggled to make connections. It seemed that the only connection was the desert, the wilderness. Jesus faced the temptations of the devil. "If you are the Son of God, if you will do this, then I will give you that." Those of us who traveled to San Diego, we faced realities of the decisions of policymakers in our government, policies that are being made and acted upon on our behalf regarding migrants and immigrants. And we faced ourselves, our response to those policies. Jesus was transported and shown things, the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He was offered it all if he would only bow down and worship the devil, surrendering to his power and authority. We were transported to different parts, places along the border wall to learn the history and to see its reality. Jesus, it seems, is in a cosmic battle with an enemy who is clearly defined. A battle to save the kingdom of heaven, of which the implications are clear. Winner takes all, life versus death, no holds barred. The kingdom of heaven will rise or it will fall in this battle that Jesus confronts. We were involved in a battle with an enemy that is elusive, one who is undefined. Many wrestled within themselves. Others saw the enemy as the migrant. Others, the policymakers or the politicians who use migrants and immigrants as pawns in the political game. But a struggle, but this was all a struggle that has little to do with heaven and everything to do with this world. I struggled to make the connections between Jesus' time in the wilderness and mine. I continued to come back to the story that Luke is telling, searching for those connections. Jesus is baptized and affirmed as the Son of God, the one who is beloved, the one whom pleasure is found in. He's tempted and he's tested for 40 days. He preaches his inaugural sermon. All of this happens in chapters 3 and chapters 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And yet there seems to be no good news for the poor. No release to the captives, no recovery of sight to the blind, to the suffering of others, no freedom for the oppressed, only more oppression. And so what is there in common with my wilderness, with my desert experience, and Jesus' desert experience? And then it dawned on me, the answer was there all along. The common denominator was the desert itself. Jesus was in it, and so was I. On Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, as you all gathered here, we carried water to the desert to leave for those who may otherwise die without it. That evening, we worshiped at the Agape House, home to the Lutheran Episcopal Campus Ministry on the campus of San Diego State University. And we received the ashes on our forehead, ashes that remind us of our mortality. That night, as we processed our day, I heard myself say, today I wish I believed in a God. Whose only concern was that I get to heaven. I wish that because the ashes on my forehead, they remind me that I'm going to die. And if God's only concern is that I get to heaven, and none of this otherworldly stuff matters. And therefore, I don't have to concern myself with it. The migrant, too, will die. This world's suffering then doesn't matter if all that matters is getting to heaven. Instead of leaving water in the wilderness, we could just as well leave a Bible. The powerful in Washington, those who make policies on our behalf, they too will die. They too will die, and therefore, this world doesn't matter. But Jesus was in the desert. Jesus was in the desert. He was thirsty, he was hungry, he was lonely. He was struggling to be faithful. Because this world does matter. Jesus came to be with us. He put skin on. God came to be with us to stand in the desert. Because it matters to God. It's not simply about getting to heaven. It is about getting to heaven, but it's not simply about getting to heaven. This world matters. flesh and blood is mortal, but it is also valuable. It is precious in God's sight, and it matters. Jesus is concerned about those who will die in the desert attempting an illegal crossing. He is also concerned about those who will drown in their own greed and in their own lust for power. God is concerned about injustice and about those who work for justice. And he is concerned for those who will live without a thought that they may contribute to the systems of perpetual injustice that many are trapped in. If God's only concern is getting us to heaven, then none of this earthly stuff need concern us. Yet Jesus was in the desert. If God only cares about getting people to heaven, then this baptism that we're about to do this morning, it will look much different from a baptism that initiates a child, a person, into God's reign and mission for justice. God's mission to raise up the dignity of all people, to reveal its value and its worth. A baptism that's only about getting to heaven looks so much different than a baptism that's an initiation into a ministry where we are enlisted in God's quest for justice now. Justice for all. Abundance, grace, true life for all who live and breathe. If a baptism is only about getting to heaven, then that paragraph about responsibilities to live among God's faithful people, to share in his word and his holy supper, and to seek justice and peace in all the world can be taken out of the script. But Jesus was in the desert. Jesus is in the desert to show the devil and to show us the kind of Messiah that he will be. The one who serves others, not himself. The one who follows God's plan without shortcuts or without a plan that makes his life easier. The one who will not save himself, but will give himself, his life, to save others. The one who comes to the desert not for himself, but to find those who are thirsty, those who are hungry, those who are suffering, those who are dying, that he might give them life now. Dear friends, Lent is a time of prayer and fasting and sacrificial giving, spiritual practices that have real world implications. Jesus invites us into the desert in this Lenten time with him to face the devil, not just for the sake of getting us to heaven through some pious journey, but that we might see his vision and embrace his vision of justice and abundant life for all now. In the desert, our group met Jesus. We wrestled with our own privilege and how that may block justice and life for others now. We wrestled with prejudices, our own, our nation's, and how that may block abundant life for all now. We wrestled with our abundance and others' poverty and the effect those things have on the human spirit now. May you meet Jesus in the desert of your Lenten journey. May you come to see him here, now, in the flesh, in the Spirit. May you meet him as the Spirit-led one whose mission it is to liberate you from sin and death and the power of the devil. And in that encounter, may you be liberated to take up the cross, to serve your neighbor at your own expense, to love your neighbors as you love yourself, your family. And may your heart be filled with gratitude toward God, who saved you through his Son, Jesus, who gives you your daily bread, who forgives all your sins, and calls you into the life of mission. Amen.